We're going to start by reading Romans chapter 14, verse 17 through 20. For the kingdom of God does not exist, does not mean, the kingdom of God does not exist or does not mean food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God does not mean food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He who thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. A person who serves God in righteousness, peace, and joy is approved by God, acceptable by God, and approved of by men. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual building up. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything indeed is clean. And then it goes on, but do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Once again, the kingdom of God does not mean food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I know I've been hitting grace awful hard, and then it kind of drifted into righteousness. Because to have that grace flowing through us, we have to have righteousness. The only way we can get this righteousness, remember, is not a performance-based righteousness. The whole book of Galatians is devoted to that you cannot get righteousness. This righteousness that it's talking about, any righteousness that we have in relationship to God, and he says the person who serves Christ in righteousness, peace, and joy is acceptable by God, and we know that we are not perfect enough to be acceptable only by a gift that he actually gives us righteousness, are we in that position of standing right before God. It has to be given to us. Jesus Christ took our sins, killed them on the cross, and he left us everything that he had, peace and joy and righteousness, and he left us that one thing also besides the peace, which is the greatest, but he left us his righteousness, and as we trust in him and accept that as a present, then we stand before God right in his eyes and were acceptable. Now what all of us, every person on the face of the earth, most of them are going after happiness or momentary thrills, but what they're really, really wanting, if they don't know it, we'll tell them, what they really are lacking is joy. We want to have that joy down in our heart so that no matter what goes on around us, there is still something that we're going, yeah, this is bad, but yeah, there's still God. And even though we know it's kind of, you know, the bad thing is happening, we still have a certain supernatural joy in our heart. What we're going to do is the first step we have taken and have talked about so much is receiving that gift of righteousness as a gift from God. Now we're going into the peace of God. We talked about it last week. The word peace there means so much more than just tranquility, but it's right, it's prosperity, it's health, it's well-being. All this peace. Peace is the evidence, is an evidence, not the evidence. Peace is an evidence of faith. Peace is an evidence of faith. If you have righteousness, you know that God is no longer angry with you because you have right standing with him. Therefore, you have peace with God. You have peace through God. You have peace in your life. And he says, as much as possible, live at peace with those around you. David, in one of his Psalms, I believe it's a Psalm, says, he causes my enemies to be at peace with me. So as we have this righteousness and we realize it's given to us and we stand before God and he is not angry with us. He is not going to beat us. He's not going to just, well, yeah, none of that. He's not going to be abusive toward us. we have peace with Him. That peace in our life comes out as an evidence of faith because, God, I believe I have right standing. And I believe that You're not mad at me. And I believe that I'm acceptable in the Beloved, in Jesus Christ. And I trust that. And it's okay between us. If we accept that, we believe it, we trust in that, we have this peace. This peace is there. It's ours. We can access it. But we've got to focus on it periodically because the world we live in does not want us to live at peace. Peace is the evidence of faith. Satan does not want us trusting in God. You go back to the very first time Satan and mankind, Adam and Eve, had a run-in, and it was because Satan caused disquiet in the garden. Oh, he told you couldn't eat from that tree. You couldn't eat from that, take a bite from that fruit, because he doesn't want you to be like him. Oh. Well, see, he introduced a disquieting note to the harmony of the Garden of Eden, and oh, yeah. If we're at peace, and we know we are at peace with God, Satan cannot get at us because it's, yeah, go away. We're okay. Leave me alone. And he tries to come up and stir our lives in some way to cause us disquiet. And if he can cause the disquiet, he becomes that old saying of the camel with his nose stuck under the tent. First his nose is under the tent, and then his head. Next thing you know, he's in the tent and you're outside. Whenever you're becoming disquieted, it's that camel sticking its nose in your tent. Roll up a piece of newspaper and smack it a good one and tell it to get out. That's your tent. It doesn't belong in your tent. And you're not going to be disquieted because that gives an opening for Satan to come in and attack us. We've got to have that disquieting thing in our life and causing turmoil. I hope I remember. We'll talk about it more. But John chapter 14, I would like to touch on that. John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Let not your hearts be troubled. This is actually something that, if you want to say, comes close to our responsibility, or it is our responsibility. Responsibility is, don't let your heart be troubled. I cannot cause you to have a non-troubled heart. I can't make you have a non-troubled heart. That's how come it's so hard when you go to a funeral or you go to the bedside and talk to the family of someone who is very ill and you say, I am so sorry. Is there anything I can do? You can offer condolences. You can offer comfort. But there's nothing that at that point that you can verbally say that causes them to go, huh, thank you. Now, if you can get them to focus on you have righteousness with God and you have peace with Him and therefore He cares for you, if you can get them to focus on that and cause them to shift their attention from what's disquieting them to what's bringing them peace and comfort, then you've accomplished something. But that's very hard to do because it is a let not. It's something that I have to choose to make a conscious effort to say, my heart is in a place of disturbance. My heart is in turmoil. And it ain't right. I started to call Isabel up here this morning and play Simon Says with her. You know, y'all played that game. Simon Says, touch your ear. Simon Says, touch your nose. Touch your chin. Oh, Simon didn't say that. Go sit down. When the disquieting comes, it's like the devil's going, Jesus says, it's okay to pray for your neighbor. Jesus says, love your neighbor. Jesus says, be generous. Jesus says this. And then he'll throw something in very quickly that causes us to do something that's disquieting. And when we get to that position of any time you feel disquieted, any time you don't feel peace, just stop and say, did Jesus say that? Did Simon say that? Did Jesus say that? What's the source of this turmoil in my life? God says I have righteousness. God says I have peace. That peace is a sign of faith. There is that place in the scriptures, and I can't quote it perfectly. You guys got the books? Look it up. Where it says, don't show fear to your enemy, because it is a sign of salvation to you and a sign of perdition to them. Don't be afraid. Don't be disquieted when something happens. Don't tremble and shake. Keep the confidence in God and look at Him, because Satan is disquieted when we're at peace. Satan is disquieted when we're at peace. It's our position to not worry. He didn't say, don't worry about your money. He didn't say, be quieted about your house. Be quiet about your income. Be quieted about all this. He says, don't worry about that. I'll take care of all this stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I'll take care of all the stuff. You guard your heart. You keep yourself at peace within your heart. You keep there, and every time you have disquieting thoughts, you come to me and let's get that all quieted. That is something that only you are aware of. A lot of times, I can really be tore up. I mean, just really, or all sorts of emotions are running rampant inside my little head, speaking a lot of times. And people say, you're so calm. Well, I cover it up pretty good, don't I? Because that verse was hammered in my head years ago. Do not show fear. Always project that peace. Even when I don't feel it, project that peace, because when I'm at peace, Satan doesn't know whether he's getting to me or not. And it causes him to be in turmoil. Therefore, don't worry about all these things. You've got the righteousness of God. Now keep your heart peaceful. I'm not saying that you have to sit in the lotus position and go om. You don't have to contemplate your belly button like the Buddhist or whoever it is. You don't have to do that. But when you feel that disturbance come upon you, take some time, slow down. Breathing deep is not always just for singing. Breathing deep also helps you to relax. It actually dilates, puts your arteries, dilates your veins, puts oxygen to your head, and it causes you to focus, and you say, why am I upset? God said He would take care of me. God said He would meet all my needs. I don't need this strife. I will not have this strife. There is one time that we're told to labor. There is one time that we're told to labor, to strive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. In this translation, it uses the word strive. In King James, it uses the word labor. Let us therefore strive to enter into that rest. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, that no one should fall short, that no one should fall by the same spirit of disobedience, for the word of God is living and active, and sharper than a two-edged sword. But the whole point is, this is one thing we are told to actually work at. Work at being peaceful. Work at entering into a rest. If you want to work, work at being peaceful. Work at resting. Because when you're resting and you're trusting, you're having and projecting forth, I've got faith in God that He's going to take care of it. When you feel that disquiet come upon you, strive to become peaceful. And it doesn't matter if you have to Drink a pot of tea if that what does it for you. Take a walk in the woods if that what does it for you. Sit down on your couch, breathe deep, whatever it does, but focus on this. I have righteousness and I have peace because it's given to me. Whether I feel it or not, it's mine and I'm going to have it and I'm going to keep it, and keep your mind focused on that, because as we have rest and peace, it's a demonstration of our faith. Let me go over to Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. I've always said this is one of the most peaceful churches. Former DSs have come into the church and sat down and they said, it's amazing, your church is just so peaceful. I said, well, it's not my church, it was that way when I got there. It's just peaceful. And the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness, and trust forever. The effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness is quietness and trust forever. First step is become secure in the idea that you do have right standing before our God, before our Father, because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished, and accept that fact. I have been given that. Quit striving to get it, because you're not to strive after righteousness. You're to accept righteousness as a gift. And then it says, quiet your hearts, and the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness is quietness and trust forever. Trust is faith. So if we have this righteousness, which we've preached on enough, we should come to the place that we've grasped that part of it. We've got that. Now that we've got that, we are now to be coming to that place of, I'm at peace. I'm at peace with God. I don't have to condemn myself. There is no condemnation. I'm at peace with myself. When I have a problem, I can talk to God, because all things work together for my good. He hears and He answers my prayer. I am saved. I have got that sozo salvation. I am saved, and it means so much that I know He's going to take care of everything. And all the problems that are going on around me, I'm like a tree planted by the water. I'll not be moved. It's mine. And as a result of that quietness, that righteous quietness, that righteous peace, we have trust in our God. Over in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, another brilliant scripture. These guys was about to get invaded. Actually, they were about to get invaded. And Isaiah's talking to them, and he says this, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. In turning, they were sending out ambassadors to Egypt saying, come help us, come save us. They were sending out runners to other local chieftains saying, come help us, protect us. We'll give you money, we'll give you bribes. Oh my, what are we going to do? We've got to do something. We've got to do. And he says, turn away from all of that. Turn away, and in returning, rest, and you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust, which is faith, in quietness and in trust shall your strength be. You want strength? Have rest. You want strength? Have peace. You want to be overcoming the enemies in your life? Trust and rest and have peace. And it says right there, you shall have the strength. In your rest, you shall be saved. And we went over last week, sozo salvation is so much more. Whatever your problems are, you have been saved from your troubles. When you rest and peace and you say, that's it, that's a demonstration of God, I trust you implicitly. And it's demonstrated here in the book of Isaiah in those two particular sayings. You see, that peace, that quiet, is disturbing to Satan. When you read about the demon that's cast out, Jesus says, this demon will go out into a dry place, into the wilderness, and he will wander, and he will not find rest. And so he'll come back. Satan is a being who is not at rest. Satan and demonic forces and evilness of this world are things that cause disquiet and are not at rest. Anytime you feel confusion, confusion is not of God. Anytime you feel disquieted, it's not of God. Anytime you feel this turmoil, it's not of God. Even when he's correcting you and showing you personally things, here's things you need to take care of, it won't be disturbing in the sense of, oh, turmoil, oh my gosh, my life is falling apart. It will be, oh, thank you for showing that to me. I was needing help there. It's a peaceful thing. But when it comes to the devil and the demonic force, it's always a disquieting thing. And if he can get you disquieted and get you distracted, you'll be fumbling around, and he doesn't want you in any position other than a position of fumbling around, because that gives him the ability to manage and shepherd you. You ever seen a cat with a mouse? You know, let it run, jump on it, turn it loose, jump on it. Sometimes I think if those little mice would just lay still, like, eh, the cat would lose interest, because what it likes is that, is the thrill of the hunt. All I'm saying today is, seek the peace that's yours. Be at rest, and that will cause devastation to the devil. That will cause him to go into a tailspin, because he cannot handle it. When we are at peace, because that peace proclaims this to the world, turmoil is around us, but it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It caused Stephen, who was getting ready to be stoned, to look up to heaven and go, I see Jesus, and his face was glowing. Where did that information come from? There's a man there named Paul. Luke wrote the book of Acts. When you read it, you'll finally find a place where Luke and Paul hook up together and become buddies. That information had to come straight from Paul about, I was there when they stoned Stephen. He was at peace, and he looked up and his face glowed. That must have touched Paul in a very dramatic way. It sent him off in a tailspin, without a doubt, because he went up to Damascus to wreak more havoc. But it was like, how can this be? I'm a man of the law. I know what's right and wrong. This guy should be living in terror of the laws of God. And he was looking up when we were getting ready to dispense our justice on him. And he looked up into heaven and said, I see Jesus. And he was glowing. Stephen had the peace even though the turmoil was all around him. That is what we're to be striving for. Seeking to enter into that rest, to enter into that peace. When we have the gift of righteousness, peace will be a result, and trust, the statement of faith. So when you have any kind of disquiet, stop what you're doing and say, what's causing this? And seek God, his peace. Your lives will improve so much. Mine has. It's not easy, but it's a choice we have to make. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you bless us with the peace manifested in our lives. Remind us of it continually to seek that peace. We have the righteousness that you gave us. It's ours. It's ours by right. Father, we ask that you would cause the manifestation of the peace and the statement of faith, and help us to overcome the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. my soul from the power of death, for he will receive me. Jesus, thank you so much for your promise. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your redemption. And thank you that we have peace and it's well with our souls. In Jesus' name, go with us this week. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.